Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
Why is the man who killed George Floyd not in jail?
I'm going to get a very full report, but a very sad day.
I don't understand, in some way, the burning of buildings.
We're backing up right now because you see the demonstrators just set the AutoZone on fire.
Number of hospitalizations in New York are dropping.
Mail-in balloting as the main way to vote would be very concerning.
We declared our independence on December the 7th, by the way, you know.
He was talking about Delaware there, just to be clear.
Oh, good.
Joe Biden, yeah. We
I must, I guess that's right.
December 7th.
It's oh, it's not right? I don't know.
It's not right.
I have to fact check the fact that it's not right, but I don't think it's right.
Joe got a number of things wrong there. He referred to D-Day as December 7th, and then he also referred to it as Delaware Independence Day, neither of which are right.
All in a matter of like 7 seconds.
Yeah. Just,
right.
It's verbal garbage.
Not a good Biden day yesterday, that's for sure, among other things.
Let me know when he has one.
True. Boy, that's the truth.
The last day Joe Biden had a really relatively good day?
Please don't hold your breath. I like you. I like to be around.
I listened to an extended interview with him by Dana Bash yesterday on CNN. Probably 5-6 minutes. He had stretches where he sounded halfway coherent, and then he would say really, really strange things, like some crazy baseball analogy, or I mean, he'd just come up with, and then you could see where they edited it because he had a blank look on his face, and they'd cut to the next question. So I don't think he can do an interview these days that's not edited without him saying something like that, where he kind of tries to explain away some of his mistakes. I don't know. Is what it is. Every day we see more examples of it. Some people are in denial over it. But what about Minnesota? Minneapolis has got a Ferguson-sized problem on its hands. What's quickly gone from a protest over the death of a man at the hands of police has escalated in about 24 hours into anarchy, not unlike Ferguson.
Yeah.
Because, of course, the guy at the AutoZone or the people at Target had something to do with the death of, in this case, the gentleman who died with the policeman standing on his neck, or Mike Brown. Those two cases couldn't be any more different. They couldn't. In fact, they have nothing in common except for the fact that the cop happened to be white and the subject who ended up dead happened to be black. And yet we saw buildings burned in Ferguson. We saw people screaming, burn it down. I've got the audio. You've heard it many times. And now we've got looting of a Target and a setting of an auto zone on fire. And some video that I've yet to see a good explanation for, where a disabled woman who happened to be white is screamed, has objects thrown at her. She's basically attacked in her wheelchair outside what appears to be the back door of some sort of retail establishment. I can't even tell what it is. It's sad. I mean, I understand the anger to some extent. And it's pretty rare that I'm agreeing with Don Lemon on anything. But play cut 20 for the people this morning.
I can understand the anger there, but I don't understand in some way the burning of buildings. And we don't know how this fire started, but I understand the anger.
So, Don, explain the in some way. Right. I don't understand in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah, he couldn't.
The burning of buildings.
He couldn't just condemn the bad behavior as well as.
No. Yeah. You know, as someone who was on this radio station when Ferguson happened and covered it and have talked extensively to the mm-hmm. police officers involved and a lot of the folks who were up there. In fact, I remember Tony Colombo got assaulted during that situation. He was up there for the Glover show. On the ground and got hit in the head, mm-hmm. if I remember that story correctly. Mm-hmm. This is people demanding to know why the police officer in this case is not in prison, charged with murder right now, choose to ignore the laws that are in place and the systems that are in place to protect. And people could get mad at this if they want, but to protect our law enforcement officers differently than a member of the public. It's what happens. If an officer is accused of wrongdoing, there's an internal investigation and, if necessary, a criminal investigation to determine whether or not they exceeded their authority. As opposed to you or I walking up to somebody on the street and killing them. As a member of the public, there's a presumption that the police officer was engaged with this individual because of a law enforcement issue, mm-hmm. right or wrong. You may not agree with it, but it's the same people that would have had Darren Wilson locked up after the Mike Brown case. And after a thorough investigation, it was proven that Darren Wilson didn't do anything wrong. And in fact, was doing his job when he was attacked by Mike Brown. That may not be the case here. This one may be a lot more clear cut than that. I don't know. But for people to be demanding that this officer be in jail already, I understand the need for an investigation. They need to do that. I'm not justifying what happened up there.
Oh, absolutely.
By any stretch of the imagination. But for this to have already devolved into looting of a Target store shows you that there's a lot more going on here than just some community anger over the death of George Floyd.
So I don't understand that process, though. Is that the for any case with the police officer? So he's just this officer that involved with George Floyd he's at home while the investigation goes on?
To the best of my knowledge, he was...
And that's the regular process.
He would normally be suspended while they investigated. In this case, they just flat out fired him. Mm-hmm. And I suspect you'll see him taken into custody pretty quickly.
Sooner rather than later, I would imagine.
Sure, there's a lot of pressure here to get that done.
It is hard to wrap your mind around watching someone kill somebody and then that person not being charged with anything immediately. And then, I mean, then innocent till proven guilty, obviously.
Thank you. But it's like the Freddie Gray case in Baltimore. Not unlike the Freddie Gray case in Baltimore. Everybody assumed, because somebody said it, that the police officers involved killed Freddie Gray. And after an extensive investigation, after they wrongly overcharged six police officers in Baltimore, not a single one of them was found guilty of anything because the investigation showed this guy had pre-existing health problems that led to his death, not the way the police handled him that led to his death.
I know, but
we don't know all of what happened here.
We watched this guy. I mean, we watched this officer mishandle this situation. Everybody did. And I think that the frustration would come in if we hadn't seen that, would there be any consequences? And I obviously am not condoning the looting. We were all on air for Ferguson. It was awful.
Oh, yeah.
It wrecked our
city.
It wrecked our community, and it wrecked it again the next year, and it was disgusting and awful. And no, I those protests are very, very sad and a somber reminder. On the other hand, it is hard to watch this officer keep his knee on the neck of a man that ends up dying for 5 minutes and then just think of him sitting at home on his couch.
Right. No, I think he'll end up being arrested. I just think there's a process there that they're going to go through first. And it can't be that process, whether you agree with it or not, can't be an excuse for looting and burning businesses in Minneapolis. Somebody apparently got killed last night during this looting. I don't know all the details of it there in Minneapolis, but it probably won't be the last. We'll try to get a few details on it. But it sure has a lot of shades of Ferguson, and with two cases that are couldn't be more different in the circumstances. That's for sure. We will get to your phone calls. I got Jim Talent, Stacy on the right coming up later. Congresswoman Ann Wagner is going to be in here with us. Dr. Randy Tobler at about 6:37. It's going to be a good show. Stay tuned. 314-241-9797.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Very sad event. A very, very sad event.
Should the police officers be prosecuted, sir?
Well, we're going to look at it, and we're going to get a report tomorrow when we get back. And we're going to get a very full report, but a very sad day.
Yeah, there's the president talking about the George Floyd death, calling on the Justice Department to step in and investigate that. So it will be investigated. It'll be investigated quickly. And hopefully nobody agrees with what's going on in Minneapolis right now with the lootings and all that. But then you have things like this, where the actor Ice Cube came out yesterday on social media. I wonder why, Twitter wants to block some things and not block other things. And asked the question, how much more crime must police officers commit against Black Americans before we strike back? These are the kinds of things that lead to, remember the shootings of all those police officers that happened? Was it down in Dallas? Isn't that where that happened?
Yes,
a couple of years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle of the aftermath of the Freddie Gray case and Ferguson and all that, the Ferguson effect. These are the kinds of things that carry this out of bounds and where it develops into anarchy. Remember, people claimed that it was anarchy when people who marched in protest at some of these state capitals over these restrictions happened to be carrying their guns at the time. But there was no violence. There's a big difference between expressing your outrage over something and your opinion over something than burning and looting.
One doing it without without the violence is much. It speaks much more than doing what's happening here and what happened in Ferguson.
Yeah, it's sad. See the Kathy Griffin story? She's out there again.
Ugh.
Why?
Giving Jim Acosta, I don't know, it sounds almost like a threat to me, giving Jim Acosta advice on how to deal with President Trump. Jim Acosta tweeted, Trump at diabetes event at the White House, quote, I don't use insulin, should I be, end quote. And Kathy Griffin responded by saying, a syringe with nothing but air inside of it would do the trick. And then she drops the F-bomb on the president. Liberalism is a mental illness. I'm just telling you. This lady, the fact that she's still working in Hollywood after all the stuff that she's done, the severed head, wow. At least CNN dropped her. But she's still working. It's amazing. Get to a quick break here. I'll let you hear from our friend Charmaine Yost down at the Heritage Foundation when we come back. And Dr. Randy Tobler at 6:37. Right now, I want to get to my guest, Charmaine Yost, please. Charmaine is Vice President of Family, Community, and Opportunity with the Heritage Foundation. Charmaine, happy Wednesday to you.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Great to get you on here. You know, I'm sure that you saw the media coverage, which was nationwide, probably worldwide, of all the people who got down to the Lake of the Ozarks this past weekend and partied like it was 1999.
Man, that was something. I'm telling you. Yeah, I think you and I are on the same page on this. It's like, you know, good for them. You know, I do think it's important for people to start getting outside. I think it's important for us to have some real common sense about being outdoors in particular. But man, I would not be doing that on a bet. It did not look like fun, and not sure about the overall wisdom of that kind of crowding. So hopefully that'll all work out all right.
Yeah, and here's the interesting thing about it. You know, my son, I'll give him some credit here. He's 21 years old. He's in college. Had he and a bunch of his friends gone down there, I questioned him on whether or not they would have participated in something like that. And here was his comment to me. He said, you know, I've been to that place before. He said, and I didn't like the looks of the pool water during a normal weekend. I'm not sure I would have wanted to get not sure I would have wanted to crawl into it with all of those people in it in the middle of a pandemic.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
So you got to think that alcohol probably played some sort of role in the fact. I wanted them to understand this. The guy that owns that bar has put out his own statement here that no laws were broken. Because social distancing is not technically a crime. They did non-contact thermal checks at both entrances to the pool by medical staff specifically hired for the event. And while it upset many customers, it was an additional layer we chose to implement, right?
Well, good for him.
Hand sanitizer all over the place. His point is we did what we needed to do. And at that point, you've got free will in this country to go and do these things. Nothing that happened there was against the law.
Well, you know, that's so interesting to me and good for him. And, you know, I think it'd be good for people to be reporting more on that, because I'm really struck by the overall common sense of American businesses. Yesterday, I had a package I needed to mail. Went down to a Parcel Plus that's right near my home. Never been to it before. I walked in, and honestly, Mark, the different elements that they had put in place to try and protect people was really striking to me, down to the fact that they had, you know, you got to sign stuff, right? So they've got all these pens, And they had one cup for pens that they had disinfected and one for pens for you to set down once you used it. And there was a person right there with hand sanitizer, you know, wiping them down after you used them. And I thought, right. Okay, common sense. There's a lot of, you and I have talked about this before, there's a lot of little things that businesses can do depending on what their business is. I'm like, I would never think about wiping down the pens, but their business, they thought it through. You know, other businesses that you're seeing, they're putting up shields for the workers who have to work the cash registers. Just a lot of common sense going on.
Well, it is, but I saw somebody pointed out something similar the other day about the pen pads, that they're wiping down the register. They've got a guard there, a plexiglass guard to supposedly protect the person at the cash register. But unless you've got a pair of gloves on or you use your shirt or something like that, you're forced to put your card in the machine and touch the same pen pad or the same pen that somebody else did. I've never seen any of that stuff wiped down. So again,
we
do some things that make perfect sense, and we do other things that don't have any common sense involved in them at all. And at the end of the day, it's your responsibility to make sure that you're protecting yourself. And if you choose not to do that, then you have to deal with the consequences.
You know, and the other thing, that's a really good point. But I think also the other thing that we have to keep emphasizing for your listeners and for people in general is that as the data and as the research is coming up, there's a lot of really optimistic and positive things out there. Like, for example, the CDC appears to believe now that you have to have a pretty sustained contact with someone who has the virus, whether it's, you know, they could be asymptomatic. So let's put that caveat out there. But sustained contact, as opposed to, I think a lot of us for a while there were afraid that, you know, you come within, you know, range of somebody and boom, you've got it, you know. And it looks like the transmission is not quite that simple, not quite that easy. Which, frankly, I don't think is that surprising, because often with these kinds of things, there's a lot of fear involved. And then when we get a little further down the road, it turns out that, you know, there's some natural protection involved in terms of, you know, keeping us all safe. So I think there's a lot of things that people can be optimistic about at this point.
Well, we hope so. We need a little optimism, that's for sure. Charmaine Yost, my guest from the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. I was looking at this story about the churches that have had to sue to provide some ability to have worship. It was bad in New York. Chicago this past weekend, where the mayor up there sent
right.
police in to shut down some of the South Side churches where some African American pastors had chosen to go ahead with their services. They said they were taking necessary precautions. Lori Lightfoot said, no, you can't do that. And now in California, the same thing with Gavin Newsom out there, who's tried to block that. So you can go to Home Depot, but you can't go get on your knees and ask your Savior, you know, for whatever it is you're praying for at the time.
Right.
Again, this is where we get into the common sense argument. They've had to go to the Supreme Court to try to get Newsom to back off on some of these restrictions. What's your take on the imposition on our liberties here?
Well, listen, thank goodness we have an attorney general who's very committed to people's civil liberties, and he has put it in writing, wrote a letter stating that the Constitution is really, really clear that, as you used the good Home Depot example, if you're going to open up something that is similar to a church in terms of congregating, from a secular perspective, you have to be scrupulously even-handed in how you treat churches. You can't single out a church and say, hey, look, you guys can't congregate. So you have to apply whatever decision-making in your particular area you've made even-handedly across the board. I do think people need to be careful in a situation like a church, and that's why you're seeing people feeling a little bit uneasy about churches, because that, you know, if you're sitting there for an hour together in an enclosed space, you want to be thinking very carefully about your social distancing and your contact levels and things like that. So that's fair, but it does have to be scrupulous in terms of how it parallels what you're doing related to secular gatherings.
And it has to be, I mean, we have to approach this reopening, as you guys have discovered there at Heritage. You've got your commission who's working on this to try to get things going. The WHO comes out and suddenly claims that they're suspending all hydroxychloroquine trials. You know, sometimes things are just so patently, obviously political decisions. You want to shake your head. This drug's been around 75 years. It's been used for, with an off-label use for all those years, and now suddenly the WHO doesn't want to use it anymore because Donald Trump likes it.
Right. And again, going back to the common sense, right? Something that's been around for a while, it's okay that it might be used in this off-label use under a doctor's supervision. That's the key thing, right? Because there are some contraindications for it that were the same ones that they've known because they've used it for a long time. So common sense.
I loved they caught Amy Klobuchar on this. She had to admit that her husband took this drug. Could you go to cut 15 for me?
I believe he did briefly take that drug. I have to check with the doctor because, of course, I wasn't there. I think that, or some drug like it, but I think that we have to listen to the science and you have to listen to your doctors of what is going to work in each individual situation.
Well, that's going to be interesting if Amy Klobuchar ends up being the vice presidential choice for Joe Biden, because he's going to be on the campaign trail blasting Donald Trump for suggesting people take hydroxychloroquine when Amy Klobuchar's husband was put on it. Because there's plenty of at least anecdotal evidence around the country, doctors right here in the St. Louis area who will tell you, I've absolutely used it. I've used it with zithromycin. It does work. We have evidence that it works. This whole thing is just, this is going to be an interesting political season if she's his vice presidential pick.
Right. And, you know, another thing, you mentioned the commission that I've been working with for the last 6 weeks. We're coming out with the final report in a few weeks. And one of the things that we're including is a chart of all of the different treatments that are being studied right now. And it's long and impressive. I think until I was involved in this, I was unaware of the extent of this. And you'll love this. I kind of pushed back a little bit. I was moving fast. I looked at it and I said to our people, I'm like, why are you putting this in? This doesn't have any visual interest. And they're like, well, look at it again. Like, it's really impressive. This long list of drugs that are under development and under study. So there's a lot of really kind of going, sorry for my same optimistic theme, but you know, this is America and the ingenuity and the research that's going on. I think we're going to see a lot go on this summer that moves us quickly forward.
Charmaine, we always appreciate having you on. Thank you.
Yeah, great to be with you. Have a great day.
A lot of censorship directed at speech apparently that the big tech doesn't like. But I want to know, why is it? And it's not just censorship in China, by the way, Steve. They're censoring Americans. Google's YouTube is censoring Americans who are criticizing the Chinese Communist Party, taking their comments down. Why? I mean, what is going on here? And now, as you say, Twitter is censoring the president of the United States.
Yeah, Josh Hawley there, the senator yesterday, commenting on this. Now, he's been on this train for a while now to make sure that, I mean, so many people in this country now are dependent, in many cases, unfortunately, on getting their news, their daily information from Facebook or Twitter or social media. And, you know, it's not unlike understanding that when you do a Google search, if you use Google as your primary search engine, the results you get are filtered through Google's lens. Now, I know I'm probably not telling most of you anything you don't know, but you hear Sue Thomas sometimes do the comments there about DuckDuckGo. That's a different search engine that promises you it doesn't filter your results like Google does. So there's competition out there, but DuckDuckGo doesn't have probably a small percentage of the users that Google does. So when you have big tech companies like that you know are censoring things, you have to, at the very least, make the public aware of it. I don't know where the line is drawn in terms of the government getting in. We'd need a
we'd need an attorney who is versed in the more versed in the Constitution to tell us where that is. President Trump is supposed to sign an executive order today on social media censorship. I don't know how that works. I disagree with Twitter's decision to suddenly institute some sort of a truthometer or whatever they've called it, run by some anti-Trumper, never Trumper, at Twitter. They're suddenly going to filter the president's tweet because he is against voting by mail.
It's ridiculous.
That's political. That's not fact-based. He has an opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got an article right here from 2019, because we so quickly forget, talking about how Pennsylvania admitted they found 11,000 non-citizens registered to vote on their rolls because people were able to, non-citizens were able to get driver's license. And because of that, they were easily eligible to check the box to register to vote. And there's no additional system to screen for that. Texas found 100,000 non-citizens on the state's voter rolls and determined that 58,000 people had voted. This is a report that came out in 2019. So we know that people are voting who shouldn't be voting. Why should we not believe that if you could simply copy a paper ballot and duplicate it, you couldn't vote as many times as you wanted? I mean, it's a system rife with fraud. So that's an opinion.
And they're fact-checking it with somebody else's opinion.
Thank you. That's the problem. Yeah. That's where government may need to step in and say, hey, what's going on here?
I mean, it's definitely possible that there is mail fraud with voting. I mean, for this to be the thing where they're like, oh, well, now we're going to fact check because he thinks that mail-in voting could be fraudulent. Someone say that it's not. You're really telling me that that's not possible?
And now Nancy Pelosi is allowing mail-in voting at the House effectively, which is a violation of the Constitution and the belief of many people. A quick break. We'll get back to more of your phone calls. Coming up right here on the Mark Cox Morning Show, Dr. Randy Tobler at 6:37.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.